It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And a couple of notes for you. Ed called and said, watch out for tree frogs. He said that they are all over his deck and that one of them had climbed into the track that supports the sliding glass door that goes out onto the deck. And if he hadn't seen it prior to shutting the door, it might not have ended well for the tree frog. I've been hearing a few of the tree frogs calling out in the hinterlands, and so there are a lot of tree frogs active this time of year. Barred owls, Ed said he's been hearing a few barred owls calling. I heard some barred owls myself. The leaves are starting to show some change down in the Deerwood area. And Ed also mentioned that he has a pair of trumpeter swans that seem to come and go from his small lake. And I have the same experience. They don't stay. They aren't nesting on the lake. They tried that one year and they had some young, but the nest failed. And I suspect they found a better spot. I don't know. I'm disappointed, but at the same time, I'm grateful that they're still stop in from time to time. So when I'm down there, I get a chance to see them. And then I had a short conversation with a guy named Jerry, and Jerry was talking about monarchs and their relationship to milkweed. And Jerry had noticed that the swamp milkweed was not the preferred foliage for monarchs. Now, I have only swamp milkweed at my house, and maybe that's the reason I had monarchs on there. But at one point, I think my wife counted 5 monarch caterpillars on the swamp milkweed, and there was enough herbivory among the leaves to make me think that they were dining on the swamp milkweed. But Jerry said that his experience was that they did not prefer swamp milkweed, and even when placed in a container with swamp milkweed, they would crawl off of it and avoid it. I had read not too long ago that the female monarch butterfly actually tastes the plant, whether she does, pardon me, whether she does it with her feet or her tongue, but she tastes the milkweed plant to see how toxic the chemicals are and whether they be not toxic enough or too toxic. I'm not sure what her basis for selection is, but she does taste the plant before she lays her eggs. And so if you have some experience with swamp milkweed and common milkweed, why don't you send us an email or post a comment on Season Watch, and we'll see what general consensus is out there for the two types of milkweed that are common here in northern Minnesota, common milkweed and swamp milkweed, and whether there is a preference for one over the other. In my own notes then from this past week, you know, we've been talking right along about signs of fall, and there are a number of them. One sure sign of fall for me is always the migration of the nighthawks. And we had a note from some folks over in the Bemidji area last Wednesday. They saw their first flock of common nighthawks migrating. So that process is beginning. If you're hanging out in the bogs, starry false Solomon seal, used to be Smilacina stellata. This bog plant used to be called Smilacina stellata. It's been moved into the Maianthemum family. So the starry false Solomon seal is a bog plant. It has a tall column of white flowers in the spring. This time of year, on that column there are several berries that turn white or red, and the berries are, I've crushed them and tasted the juice, and there's a tiny bit of sugar in there, but a lot of bitterness. And I guess if they were fatal, I would be dead, but apparently they're not, so I don't recommend eating them. But at any rate, the leaves of the starry false Solomon seal are beginning to yellow and die back. For those of you that are hanging out in bogs, you'll know what I'm talking about. The rest of you will just have to take my word for it. The interesting thing about the starry false Solomon seal is that it, as I said, it used to be in the Solomon seal family, Smilacina, but it's been moved to the Maianthemum family because it looks so much like the Canada Mayflower that we see in the spring, and the leaves, the flower, everything looks a lot like Canada Mayflower. So I'm not surprised it's been moved into the Maianthemum family, but if you're out in the bogs, you're going to see that it is starting to fade. While I was out in the bogs, in one of my heated chambers, in fact, in the most heated chamber, in one of the plus nines, that's 9 degrees Celsius above ambient, the blueberries have begun to bloom again. Now, they certainly won't produce fruit, but there are some blueberries in flower. Not a lot of them, but a few. And along that same line, both out in the bog away from the plots and inside some of the heated plots, Labrador tea has a few flowers. So sometimes these plants, I don't know if it's photoperiod reactivity or just what it is, but sometimes these plants will actually send out a flower or two in the fall when you wouldn't really expect to be seeing them. The raccoons are beginning to be driven away from their families by their mothers. And we are going to start to see more and more juvenile raccoons dead on the road. These will be the smaller ones. They're not much larger than cats, a little fatter perhaps, a little broader in the hip, but not a lot bigger than cats. And they're the this year's raccoons that are being pushed out by their mothers to find their own place. And as they go out and start to explore the world, one of the first things they discover is that cars don't give a rip, and you'll be seeing more and more dead raccoons on the roads, followed by skunks. I was looking back in my records, and August 27th, yesterday, there was one of the notes that I had from 2016 was that skunks were beginning to be found dead on the roads as they were being driven away from their homes by their mothers. So Lots of activity this time of year, lots of families breaking up, lots of animals spreading out, looking for their own way in the world, and many of them ending up on highways dead. So watch and see if you don't agree. The northern holly, which is also called winterberry or black alder, is beginning to, not beginning to do anything. I looked at the fruit the other day and it's as green as a green apple. It doesn't look like it's anywhere near getting ripe, but it will be changing over to orange and finally red by late September, early October. The mountain ash, the northern mountain ash, Sorbus decora, is the berries are quite bright orange. It was about a year ago this time that I discovered that the ravens were harvesting the berries off of the mountain ash, taking whole clusters and bringing them down to the ground and then picking them apart on the ground. I suspect that's because way out at the ends of those branches where the berries are growing, it's difficult for a raven to stand. The weight of the raven would push that branch down quite a ways. But they will be back, and I'm sure they'll be going after those berries again. I was down at Long Lake Conservation Center this past week talking about bogs, and the cook down there, Chris, lives up in the Hill City area, and she told a story of a brazen 10-point buck still in velvet sauntering across Highway 169 as though it had not a care in the world. That'll change in another couple of weeks when the deer season opens up. But I mentioned this to my friend Dallas Hudson, who is quite an avid outdoorsman himself and a pretty good phenologist, if I must say so myself. And Dallas says that in the fall, the bucks are the first to transition from red to brown, and that they will begin doing that very soon. And there is a correlation between that color shift and the loss of velvet from their antlers. And that will be happening very soon as well. And Dallas says that it is the most mature, the largest bucks who change over first and who lose their velvet from their antlers first. So if you have observations that support or contradict this sort of thing, why, send them along. Always good to get a conversation started. And it'll be interesting to watch as the deer begin to go through their changes. Saw some wild turkeys this past week, a great egret. We've had a number of great egrets in the area. There'd been one hanging out at Sugar Lake Lodge. This one was south of Hill City along Highway 169 in one of the little ponds along the edge of the road. Big white birds, is almost as big as a great blue heron, and absolutely snowy white. Not a common visitor to northern Minnesota. I've seen them over the years, but I'm seeing more this year than I have in any of the past years. We've talked about maples turning color. This week, I noticed that the black ash are starting to show a little bit of fading to yellow. And the American tamaracks are not as green as they were a week ago. So there's a slight shift in color. Now, the tamaracks won't really reach their peak of color until the second week of October, but they are going to start, and some will get into it a little bit earlier than others, but the tamaracks are beginning to change. I saw my first Canada goldenrod flowers in decline, so they've gone through their bloom and they're starting to fade, just the very first ones. I've been talking about fireweed a little bit, and fireweed is that magenta flower that grows in the ditches in big patches, and the flower and the seed pod are the same color, and for the past couple of weeks, the seed pods have been this smear of kind of magenta along the edges of the roads. And just south of Hill City the other day, I noticed that those seed pods had begun to burst open, and that now there are these white fluffy seeds kind of sticking out of those magenta seed pods. Common milkweed has begun to yellow. Poison ivy, if you're looking for poison ivy, it's real easy to spot right now. It's bright orange to, well, it ranges from kind of yellow to bright orange to red. And it'll all gradually move toward the red end of the spectrum. But it's pretty easy to spot if you're driving along and it's growing on a hillside. Down underneath the grass, you'll notice a lot of color if there's poison ivy in that area, and I've seen it all over the place. So look for that orangey, yellowy, red kind of color down below other plants, and that'll be poison ivy for the most part. The squirrels have begun to really chop the cones off of the white spruce. They're starting to pile up in my driveway. Well, they don't really pile up because the squirrels chop them off, and then they grab them, and they haul them away, and they put them in their put them in little middens where they keep them moist. And then in the wintertime, they'll go to those spots and they'll dig up the cones and they'll chew the bracts off and eat the seeds. And they'll be doing the same thing with Norway pine cones in another, I would guess in another week or so, you'll start to hear Norway pine cones bouncing off your roof or crashing on your deck or onto your driveway, whatever. If you have Norway pines around, the squirrels are going to be cutting the cones off and putting them away to get them through the winter. The common sulfur butterflies have been absolutely thick on the road going in and out of my place on Blue Heron Drive. They have been just absolutely thick. There must be several hundred on the road every day. And it is just amazing to drive through these clouds and clouds of these yellow butterflies. So look for common sulfurs. One of their behaviors is courtship, and they'll be defending territory, not very large, but they have a territory and they will defend it. And if you see two butterflies that start off near the ground and start flying upward and continue up for quite a distance, it's usually a competition over a piece of property. And this note, I'm always happy to report this note. As of the 27th, yesterday, I noticed that the deer fly had begun to decline, that there were not as many deer flies around as there were a week ago. And I couldn't be happier. Those little devils are always annoying, especially for sailors. It's if you're sailing, you've got one hand on the tiller and one hand on the main sheet. That's what controls the sail, and that doesn't leave you a hand to slap slap deer flies with. So you're kind of at their mercy when you're out there, and they have a way of hiding in places on the boat where they can come out and attempt to draw blood from you while you're busy. And usually that's the case, but not so much anymore, and I couldn't be happier about that. And finally, a note about the cornfield or Labor Day ant, those ants that are coming out and starting to fly around in your neighborhood right now. Watch for them and understand that this is a normal part of their lives, that they come out this time of year, and seek to mate with a female or a male and start new colonies. And lest you worry about the ants overtaking the humans on Earth, it's too late. They already outweigh us. If you put all of the humans on Earth on one side of a scale and all the ants on the other side of the scale, the ants would weigh more than we do. But it's only about 1 in 500 of the females that leaves the nest that will actually be successful in raising a new colony of ants. So just think about that. 1 in 500. How quickly they could overrun us if they could improve those numbers. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, if you have observations to share, comments you'd like to make, or questions you'd like to ask, please get in touch with us.